Taste and see, says the psalmist, that the Lord is sweet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, St. Paul, in the Sunday Mass, contrasts the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. You might say that the fruit of the 12 fruits of the Holy Ghost is just this sweetness that King David talks about and invites us, the church does, to taste it. Some time ago, it must be 4 years now, I gave a series of sermons on the 12 fruits of the Holy Ghost. But people don't remember sermons, and sadly, very often in catechisms and before confirmation, there never seems to be time to go through those 12 fruits of the Holy Ghost St. Paul enumerates this morning. But God's providence places daily in our heart, on our lips, and in our ears a wonderful living example of what it is to carry out to produce these sweet fruits of the Holy Ghost. And she is the most sweet Mother of God, our Blessed Lady, the Ever-Virgin Mary. Her name, St. Anthony of Padua says, borrowing from St. Bernard, her name is joy in the heart. Her name is honey in the mouth. It is melody in the ear. This is the same that we may say about the fruits of the Holy Ghost. And that's why it's a shame to skip them. It would be, in a sense, a little bit like skipping dessert. A bit of catechism, then. The Church's great teacher is St. Thomas Aquinas. In a very simple way, he explains that the Holy Ghost comes into you at baptism and whenever you receive an increase of sanctifying grace. Now, with him, he pours into your soul, thus they are called infused virtues, faith, hope, and charity. When you allow yourself to be led by God's Spirit, and you listen to the Holy Ghost, then these three virtues, faith, hope, and charity, are multiplied and show themselves in a very attractive way in your life by the 12 fruits, virtuous actions which are sweet and which are pleasant to carry out. I was trying to explain this to our school children the other day at the votive mass of the Holy Ghost for the opening of a new school year, and it occurred to me that we would have a difficulty with this concept of fruit, because in the old days, still today in Europe, and also for those who eat in a very healthy way, why, fruit is a delightful way to have a dessert at the end of a meal. But for most Americans, if we don't get our white flour and our refined sugar in the form of a cookie or a pie or ice cream or cake, it doesn't seem as though we've had dessert. So I told the children, think of the 12 fruits of the Holy Ghost as 12 desserts, and you'll have some sense of what I'm talking about. In other words, the drawing power of the delightful. A French atheist, there are many French atheists, a French atheist once said, if I had been God, what pride. But he said that if I had been God, I would have made virtue more attractive than vice. He did. Human experience shows there is no happiness to be found in sin. The works of the flesh, St. Paul talks about today, they bring us, St. Paul says, nothing but shame over the long run. Take one of them, jealousy. Remember what Shakespeare says? It mocks the flesh, it feeds upon jealousy. And the same with all the rest. If we would be happy, we would have to submit ourselves to the sweet reign of Christ as our King. We would have to allow Mary, our mother, to be also our queen, to live in a society regulated by the Holy Ghost. This idea of a drawing sweetness that attracts, this is the true view of virtue. It's not something which is limited and limiting and rather narrow. You see this in our Blessed Lady. Benignity, that's one of the fruits. Who knows what benignity means? Why, it simply means a supernatural pleasure at putting ourselves at the service of others. It's always wonderful to see someone do that, and life wouldn't go on unless we did. But our Blessed Lady exists for this, to serve God for love of Him, and that's charity, another of the fruits. Her joy, another fruit, is to put herself at your service. That is benignity. All of your life, and even to the very moment of your death, Mary is patiently waiting. That's the fruit of longanimity, come to think of it, for you just to mention, to call upon her name. Do so now. There is an indulgence of 300 days attached to that short, powerful prayer. Mary never wearies of waiting for us, her children, but she always comes, so great is her goodness, another fruit of the Holy Ghost. With me is sweetness, Our Lady says. My spirit is sweet above honey. We often read that in the epistle of her Mass. We had a saint a couple of weeks ago, a bishop, Blessed Juvenal Mancina. People noticed that whenever in church he said the holy name of Mary, that he'd lick his lips afterwards. And someone asked him about that one day. And he said, when I say her name, I taste something sweet. But the essential is this, that you feel that attraction towards God, towards goodness, in the very depth of your heart, with all of its staying power, by her intercession. Her service knows no weariness, Sacred Scripture says. In other words, to be devoted to Mary is to have the fruit of longanimity. If only people knew how good Mary is. Someone gave me a book the other day, and I just came across a new story I want to tell you. It's one of those once upon a time things. It was about Helen. Helen was not a very good woman. She had not led a very devout life. But one day she happened to be in church, and the sermon was on the rosary. And she conceived a desire to buy a rosary. She got herself one, but for a while she kept it hidden, lest anyone should know that she, Helen, had a rosary. Well, in time, thinking about those beads, she decided one day to get them out, and she started to pray the rosary, but she prayed it without devotion. Still, our Blessed Mother accepted it, and she caused her to find so much pleasure in these prayers that she never grew tired of praying her rosary every day. Then, in time too, these things take time, her past life started to reproach her, and then it horrified her, and then she almost felt forced into the confessional. And the priest was so taken aback, so many years since confession, and yet such innocent sincerity and sorrow for her sins. Her penance was only one rosary, and she went to Our Lady's altar, and she prayed it there immediately. From then on, her life changed entirely. And she was smiling. And she was happy, and her joy knew no bounds. And Our Lady was happy too. They say that Our Lady started to speak to Helen, and she gave her even the gift of prophecy. And at her deathbed, Mary came and took Helen by the hand home to heaven. St. Ephrem the Syrian says that he goes so far as to say that the name of Mary is the very key that unlocks the gate of heaven. If only we would never forget to have this key on our chain. And St. Bonaventure, that the name of Mary is the salvation of all who call upon her. Do you see how it works in God's plan? Sweetness today and salvation tomorrow. The name of Mary is some kind of a delightful distillation, a short summing up of these 12 fruits of the Holy Ghost. And at the same time, don't forget, her name is the shortcut and the surest way to show these fruits in our lives. But as they say, don't take my word for it. Try it yourself this week. Taste and see how sweet is her name. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.